things do in an effort to gather certain magnetic values from it. He lived in Switzerland, where the dew is very heavy, and he put glass plates out on little stands, and on these glass plates at night, under certain positions of the planets and the moon, he gathered the dew, impregnated with the vibrations of the planetary positions at the time of the exposure. These materials he bottled and labeled exactly as he would an ordinary medication. And he gave these to the sick when an ailment arose that required this type of medication. He therefore developed something that was almost the same as a very high degree of homeopathy, where natural remedies derived directly from nature without conditioning of any kind were suitable to correct certain difficulties which might arise from the depletion of natural resources. And this is the same as almost every other phase of life. Religion, for example, every building, every church is a living entity. Every bank is a living entity. Every war office is a living entity. These things are not merely buildings. They are embodiments of attitudes. Everything is alive with the quality for which it was created. The war office is tied to war. The bank is tied to banking. But banking is a living fact. It is the banking that is the real living involvement in the so-called story of banking. These things are all alive. And each one of these, as it comes into life, is born with a certain responsibility. We will say that a young person born into a family is born to help to maintain that family, but protect it, serve it, and serve with it for the completion and perfection of the community. The same is true of a bank. A bank is part of an organization, part of an entity, part of something created for a purpose. Now, if the bank fulfills this purpose honorably, it is then healthy. If, on the other hand, it decides to make an unreasonable profit, if it decides to sacrifice its integrity for the advancement of its own institutional existence, there is trouble. The bank will ultimately go broke. The stock exchange, when it was created to help farmers and merchants to share their goods and make proper and reasonable investments, as they all sat together under a tree in the south end of New York, if this institution had remained a benevolent organization of service, it would be still probably very practical and very useful. But instead of being that, it has now become a structure of misuses and abuses. And the result is it is gradually destroying itself. Now, entities. A republic is an entity. It is a magnetic field. An autocracy is a field. A monarchy is a field. A communistic institution is a field. Every one of these organizations use energy. They use it in a thousand different ways. Political speeches, harangues on the street corners, battles in the galleys and back roads. Everything is involved. And every one of these energy fields that becomes corrupted in any form or in any way is doomed to disaster. Therefore, our code of honor is not based upon the Mosaic code alone, although that is a very good one. It is actually based upon use and abuse. There is no possibility of an abuse succeeding. It will seem to succeed for a little while. It will succeed in the same way that an abuse of the body will apparently provide the individual with an opportunity to make very serious mistakes. But in the end, the energy fields pay the bill. Every misuse of life responsibility, use of basic materials, the abuse of forests, the abuse of water, the corruption of air, all these things are paid for in magnetic defects. And we are beginning to recognize them now. We are wondering why some of these strange things happen that have been happening in the last few years. Nuclear fission is a great tragedy, not because it simply offends the peace-loving human being, but because it is a misuse, a violent corruption of energy. It is the use of a divine power to injure other people. Therefore, that which lives by the sword must perish by the sword. So our whole morality is a matter of life energies. It is a matter of gradually bringing all our intemperances into patterns of usefulness and creativeness and constructiveness. It is the gradual victory of a friendship over enemy, animosity. It takes the stranger out of existence and puts the friend in its place. Everything is part of working towards a harmonious balance of the natural resources of the solar power. Everything can be used to advance the common good, but everything that is used to destroy will be destroyed by its own destructiveness within itself. Now, another phase of that is now coming into focus very strongly in the problem of general reformation in human relationships. We have today a problem of marriage, divorce, adoption of children, all these different moral issues. Now, we're going to have to finally settle down, and every person will have to decide whether he is going to fulfill his own purposes or whether he is going to obey the laws of nature. If he obeys the laws of nature and understands them, things will be solved. If he keeps on doing as he pleases with no consideration for values or for the rights and purposes of nature, he will be in trouble. Everywhere it is energy, energy that must be properly used. Now we have now considerable emphasis upon the creation of new energy symbols. And this is more or less an interesting phase of our problem. The ancients used all kinds of symbolic designs to indicate energy. They had their pentacles and their signs and their symbols and their images. And in metaphysical thinking, philosophical thinking, there was a great emphasis upon meditation and the mantras and mudras of the esoteric doctrine. These are very important. But now comes the question. Meditation is a mood for the distribution of energy. The power of meditation has to do with the use of magnetic energy. Therefore, the problem of meditation is very simple. You say to yourself, I want to develop a higher grade or higher level of integrity. Therefore, through meditation and the dedication to the highest principles that I know, I will achieve a great improvement in character. Now, this is very good, proper. It's been followed by sadhus and hermits for ages. It has been followed by early Christian monks for nearly 2,000 years. There's nothing wrong in meditation. But someone, out of the smartness of something, decided that by meditation he could also accomplish a certain amount of selfish fortune for himself. I know one individual who taught high disciplines for the sake of improving socially, making a wealthy marriage, increasing in business, dominating other people, and he was doing very well with it. One day I got a telephone call from the local hospital. This individual was sick. So he went down. I said, well, what seems to be the trouble? It was a woman. She was in tears. She said, you know, all my life, or for many years, I've taught people to think rich, think happy, think healthy, and I am dying of cancer. Well, that is again a strange kind of poetic justice that seems very cruel. No question about it. But the individual had broken the rules that associate with magnetic energies. The rule of all possession is right use. The use of all esoteric doctrines and disciplines is for the advancement of the common good. And when we start meditating for a fortune or something, we are headed to trouble. Because this is contrary to the proper use of magnetic resources. Magnetism is a great field of energy available to all. The price of it is simple. Earn it. You've got to be right. And all the energy of space is available for the right use that you can make of it. And as much as the right use you can understandingly create at the proper time. But the moment the individual becomes selfish or self-centered, the magnetic field of his own body begins to fail. Kilner pointed out that there is great difference in these matters, and other scientists have noted that where selfishness comes into a religious situation, there's always a disappointment. And where we are selfish in marriage, where we are selfish in relationships, we are destroying the defenses of our own magnetic field. Now, actually, there is a certain poeticness in this injustice on these particular problems. The individual who is selfish and abuses the field loses the protection of his own life against the selfishness of others. If he loses his own protection, then the selfishness of others can move in on him. And if he tries to take something from another, he also opens the door for that person or some other person to take something from him. It is reciprocity. Energy is the most important and priceless of all ingredients. It is something that everyone needs and must have. The waste of energy, the abuse of energy, is the abuse of the magnetic fields. The moment they are abused, they fail us. And very often the failure is a kind of poetic justice. It is something that happens that we can't explain. But I think we find it was clearly indicated in Goethe's line of Faust. It says, how closely fate is linked to virtue, doth never to the fool occur. Had he the wise man's stone, I swear it, the stone had no philosopher. Wherever we have skill, we have knowledge, we have unusual abilities, we have been given good educations, we have been perhaps by good parents advanced in as much morality as possible, and then we go out and immediately sacrifice all that we have gained or has been helped to, we have been helped to have on our own personal selfishness. That means no wise man's stone for us. That means that we will not be able to succeed because we have, in a treasonable manner, perverted that which was our constructive birthright. So we're here today as part of a world of selfish people. We're here today with everybody trying to get theirs before somebody else takes it away from them. We're here in the presence of governments of questionable integrity, products of questionable value, and also another general factor which we must also face. And that is, we are now nearly 5.5, almost 6 billion disillusioned people. We have not much faith in anything. Every day the newspaper helps us to lose what honesty and faith we might have. We can become finally convinced that we live in a completely corrupt world. Therefore we are bewildered, we are intimidated, we are worried, and very often just simply give up and follow the line of least resistance and go down with the rest. Now this isn't really the way it was intended to be. Actually, the bad news that we have, it has nothing to do with us unless we're part of the bad program. Now, you might say it's nicer to imagine a world in which we could all work together. There's no doubt about it. That would be much better. But until such time, the individual who is trying to be right has got to be careful that he is not infected by a common disillusionment. He cannot afford to say everything is wrong and mean it. He's got to hold inside of himself a realization that principle is the basic value, and that regardless of what happens in the world, he cannot lose sight of protecting his own energy resources, because it might just so happen that he could be one of those who could help to change the course of history. In other words, disillusionment, despair, discouragement, bitterness, anger, frustration, all these do nothing to the person against whom they are turned. But they do everything to the individual who uses them. Therefore, no matter what we read in the paper, no matter what comes to us over the radio or in television, the individual must retain within himself the realization that there is a great good behind everything, and that that great good will succeed, and that this magnetic field we're talking about, which extends not only through this solar system but through the entire galaxy, decrees within itself by its own immutable process that evil can never win. We must go through certain travail in connection with it. We have to finally learn to our own satisfaction that we can't do it badly and be well off. But until such time, values never change. Never will we be punished for what somebody else does. Never will we be rewarded for the virtues of others. We must achieve these things ourselves through our own efforts, through our own integrities, and through our own dedications. And all of this is added up in a mysterious bank account which is called energy or magnetic resource. It is there to serve us. It is there to serve the individual who does wrong. But if the individual does wrong, the service collapses. And the individual who does wrong finally finds the energy turns back upon himself, and the corruption continues. We must keep this center of consciousness within ourselves in a condition of correctness. In Buddhism, the heart is called the Saptapana, the house or temple with seven rooms. It is within this temple, as Buddha points out, that the great initiation against the hindrances has to be performed. The individual has to be initiated in his own heart. He must accept as a fact that his own integrity is his only strength, and also that his own honesty is his only wealth. All else is some kind of a delusion which will ultimately turn back and whip him. So in the quietude and peace of the realization of the immutability of good, the inevitability of right over wrong, the endless and continuous process of redemption going through every area of nature, all things in due time will come back into the peace which they sacrificed when they tried to put self as an individual above universal reality. I don't see how we have gotten into the state we've gotten into, really. Of course, I do know, but I'm not mentioning it. The real fact of the matter is that as we look around us, there's every reason to know that we live in a beautiful world. We live in a tremendous sphere. And we are already beginning to realize that we're destroying it ourselves. It is not some vast cosmic power that says we have to be selfish or that puts a profit against principle. These things don't exist in nature. We know that with moderation, with integrity and dedication, we could all live in peace and another 5 billion could live with us. But the way we are doing, we are sacrificing everything for a bowl of pottage. And if we continue to do this, the energy resources will be reduced. We are worried now about changes taking place in the atmosphere, that the overload that we are throwing against our natural resources is beginning to endanger us. Now we can go under our own skin and see that the same thing is happening inside of us. The overloading of our body with the problems and processes of modern living obviously is going to result in destitution and death. We cannot afford to waste the magnetic field of the body or destroy it any more than we can afford to destroy the one of the earth. If we're going to run out of petroleum someday, we're also going to run out of the ability to recuperate from ailments if we dispose of and waste our recuperative power. The magnetism, which helps digestion, can be destroyed, wasted by corruption. When we take into ourselves dangerous foods, dangerous attitudes, or when we eat with a dangerous mood, we are endangering ourselves. And when the world does these things, the world endangers itself. And we will not be the first civilization, as I said in India, the great mother, the earth, has cast many civilizations from her back. Everything that goes beyond a certain point is destroyed because it breaks up its relation with its energy supply. It no longer is fed primarily by magnetism. Because it's magnetism in the food that feeds us, it's magnetism in the air that we breathe, it's magnetism in the earth that grows our vegetables, and it is magnetism in our souls that makes us hope for good. All the things we know, all the things we believe in, are energy dependent. And the use of energy is the most important thing. Why we go on year after year making all kinds of efforts to feel better, be better, or think better, and overlook the one fact that everything that we think and feel and believe depends upon a life principle, an energy resource, a magnetism of the earth itself. And that while this is destroyed or while this is abused, we will have the earth becoming more and more sterile. We have the air no longer fit to believe. We will find the energies we have wasted lost to us forever. All these things require just one new concept, and that is that religion is basically the proper use of resource. It is to use the privileges that we have been given for the greater good of all of us. We have been made gardeners in a beautiful garden, and we've let it go to weed. We have been given a beautiful planet, and we've subdivided it and sold it for profits. The original purpose was that we should become a wonderful group of human beings working together for the good of each other and the glory of the universe. We are being prepared for a bigger job than we have, but we are flunking the examination at the present moment. We are not doing what we should do. Everything that comes along is measured in profit. Everything that comes along is measured in freedom from responsibility. When energy is something that we must be responsible for, or we will waste it forever. Or as long as we can. By the time forever comes, there won't be much energy left. But all this is a lesson in the morality of values. It is a lesson in the fact that we are the keepers in a garden. We are the gardeners in the garden of Allah, as the Muslim calls it. This is a beautiful garden that has been given to us, and we're letting it go to weed. We had a beautiful world with wonderful materials, so we dig under the earth and create materials to create war, death, and destruction. We have little gardens that we could have beautiful times sitting under our own palm tree, but we are fighting to take everybody else's garden away from them. And when we finally find a small plot of land that we might be able to use, we find the real estate agents have priced it 10 times its value. All these things are all little things, but they all add up to the loss and waste of magnetic resource. They are the failure of the individual to protect the source of his own life, the source of his own future, and the breaking of the laws and rules by which he must compare his own needs with the needs of others. It is only when we work to protect the toadstool as well as the nation that we can have peace in the world. We must protect the small things because each of them is a run energy resource. The protection of them is against our viewpoint because we take it for granted that the small should be controlled by the big. That small things, like humble people, are made to be exploited. This is not true. Everything in life is made to be used. Nothing is made to be abused. And the individual who abuses any part of life is contributing to the common cause of destruction. Now, this business of the energy and magnetic resource went on down through to the present time. And now we have a new measurement for it, and that is the development of a large group of electrical devices, by means of which it becomes apparent to us that it is possible for the human being to make use of any energy as he sees fit. Now, the instrument that he has within himself is infinitely more wonderful than any television or any computer can possibly be. We can have a computer do everything, and it is alive. Don't for a minute think it isn't. But it is alive in a field of energy. It has a life, it can propagate itself, it can develop itself, it can grow up, it can grow old, and it can die. Because it is all part of an energy usage. But in all of these usages, let's remember that the individual is humanity's prime asset. The individual is here to grow. And in growing, he grows by helping everything else to grow. The moment he goes into negative competitive relationships with everything else, he destroys himself. So out of a great brotherhood involving potatoes, diamonds, computers, television, music, everything, is part of a magnificent harmonic pattern. But the individual has forgotten or neglected to mature his own inner life. He was given religion in the beginning to help him to build an internal life. For religion was nothing but a statement of the rules. It wasn't a doctrine. It was a statement of the laws that have to be obeyed. Man has gradually disobeyed these rules, and now he questions the reality of religion. But he has never been able to prove that the religion was wrong. It was merely inconvenient. It prevented him from being as selfish as he would like to be. This being the case, he's in serious trouble. But out of all of this, we hope, with the coming of the next century, that we're going to find the real basis of our understanding. We're going to discover the good universe, which we have forgotten existed if we ever knew it. We're going to suddenly realize that galaxies and stars and systems in space are not just simply something out there to provide us with energy to run motors with, or that we are going to solve all the problems of nature if we can get a photograph of ourselves standing on Mars. This has nothing to do with it. We're living in a great, beautiful world of cooperating forces, filled with things that want to get together and work together for the common good. And all we can do is make games out of them, silly games. Games in which we think we're conquering everything by putting something in orbit. That's not at all true. What really we are looking for is to realize that we conquer or we win or we achieve our goal when we put ourselves in orbit. When we get back again into the rules of the game of life. Serve it as it should be served. Love as it should be loved. Admire the good, protect it, and slowly and quietly outgrow everything that is less. If we can do that, then these resources, these magnetic fields, will supply us with all the energy the world needs for millions of years. It will not be the loss of the energy, but it will be that if we do not make these corrections, we will not be able to draw the energy to ourselves, and that which cuts itself off from life is the dead branch that is cast back into the fire. So out of an understanding of energy and the magnetic resources, we go a long way toward solving the present problems. That's it.